Well, hello, good people. It is Stunt Granny Audio 413, an unfamiliar face, well, voice, I suppose. Starting the show off, I'm Jeremy. Chris is on the other end. Say hello, Chris.
Hey, everybody. Hey, Jeremy. What's going on?
What's going on? It's the two of us this week because Shahid's working late nights so that he can get through Ramadan without getting too upset during the day because he can't eat or drink. And Kevin has run off for the beaches of Guam. So when Kevin gets back, he will be here next week, I guess.
Oh, right.
So, I mean, he may not be in Guam. I'm not sure. I can't remember. Guam sounded like a pretty irrational place to go hang out at. I don't know anything about it, though. Is Guam a real place, or am I just making up a word?
It's a real place.
Okay.
All right, I don't think it was where Kevin said he was going, but I don't exactly remember that off the top of my head where he was going.
Yeah, well, not our problem, because we're just staying in the same exact boring places. Anyways. Yeah. I said we already know what we're talking about, but I guess we didn't actually go over what we want to start with. So, what do you want to start with?
I guess let's start with the biggest thing. Let's talk about Brock and Joe.
Oh, okay. All right. I wasn't sure if we were going Okada Omega 2 or this one, but I think you're right, at least for this country. Joe Lesnar's definitely the biggest story.
It is, and yeah, they, on a show that otherwise WWE threw in the towel, they decided that in their first segment of the first show with no sports competition at all, they were just going to put Brock Lesnar and Samoa Joe out there and do the whole thing, and then, well, never see Brock again, and then only see Joe again once.
Well, when is Great Balls of Fire? They said it was 5 weeks away still? Was that right?
Four. No, it was four.
Oh, damn.
Yeah,
I mean, that's still a month away, so.
It's not July yet. Yeah, still a little bit.
So, what'd you think? Not Raw. I guess I'm not used to leading these things. What did you think of that exact segment?
I thought everything about it was excellent. I thought the way Paul Heyman, started it off with, now, after what happened last week, no respect for Samoa Joe, which is different for Paul Heyman, but he's actually angry at Brock's opponent, so it makes sense to just talk shit about him, make him look worthless, make him look like, a mutt, a dog. That was all interesting wording.
Yes, that was... when he said that all the Samoans in this business have been related except for one, and then you're the one that they never talk about, you're the one they don't like, and I was like, holy crap. Like, he immediately made this personal when it didn't really even need that personal touch.
No. He went all in, and there are stories. I believe there's a story a decade or so back with Samoa Joe and Umaga getting into it like at an indie show over, some type of Samoan pride or whatever type of thing. And I think Joe talked about an episode of the Steve Austin show, and he said it was smoothed over really quickly, but there might have actually been some heat there. And of course, once again, Joe is not related to the rest of the family, the Anoa'i clan, although I think on Joe's, he kind of half-jokingly said on Austin's podcast a long time ago that one of his great uncles can get out the family tree and say, no, we actually are.
Well, the island of Samoa is not exactly a big place.
No.
Yeah.
But no. I mean, but going there and, really just talking down Joe in a way that Heyman usually doesn't, I thought it added a lot to it. And then, Joe's, purposeful march for the ring, getting in there and, the headbutt, as a callback to the Kurt Angle headbutt to Samoa Joe and Angle's first night in TNA. For some reason, even before they got in there and just during the day, I thought that they might do that. I thought they might do the headbutt spot. I don't know why. Maybe I've just watched too much of this shit and I kind of know the way these people think to a frightening degree.
I was, all right, see, when, well, I'm with you. I thought, I mean, this was by far the best segment of the show, but then also it's one of the better segments they've had in a while. And
yeah, I mean, it was definitely a callback to the incredible Brock Undertaker, you know, brawl from, you know, 2 years ago. I mean, they definitely borrowed from that liberal.
Yeah, well, that was the that was a nice part, because I expected this segment to go totally different. When Heyman said we're going to unleash the beast, I figured Brock was going to come out and not let Heyman talk and just yell, just get out here, Joe, something like that, and then start going after people, because they're not going to suspend him. He's a champion. They're not going to take the title away because it automatically diminishes it. So he's pretty much got him, you know, over the barrel, like storyline-wise, and just have him start destroying people. And when that didn't happen, I was kind of like, this is kind of strange. And then Heyman just started dogging him out. And when Joe came out, I'm like, here we go. They're just going to start fighting immediately. You know, we got your iconic moment, if you will, with them doing the standoff. And I figured it was Brock was just going to pick him up and put him down. Because the way WWE has worked these things, I didn't expect Joe to come out ahead, which I think he did by a slight margin in this. But when they did the headbutt thing, I was like, oh, cool. That's a callback to something that none of this audience has seen. Just going by ratings, no one saw that. And the bad thing is, and this is actually my... it's an opinion formed after watching almost all of Dominion, that if there was a more of a sports feel, there would have been blood there. Because Joe headbutted him in, like, the shoulder blade. He didn't get him in the face at all. But I remember the Kurt Angle one, he nailed Joe in the forehead, and Joe split his nose open. Or was it his forehead, I think?
I think it was forehead, yeah.
Yeah,
forehead,
so when Joe comes up behind him, he's bleeding, and you're like, oh shit, this is, you know, it's still worked, but this is legit. That's the only thing this was missing. But I did think also Joe caught Brock with that kick.
Yeah. I mean, I thought the headbutt looked good from where I was watching or how I was watching it. I thought, damn, and the kick looked really good. Yeah, everything about it, you know, looked good. You know, it felt more real, which is exactly what you're going for, which is what you're paying Brock Lesnar for.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got the right opponent here. You can straddle that line. Joe, you know, trains in enough disciplines that he knows what to do. Obviously, not competition tested in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
It's not like anyone. You can suspend your disbelief, but it's not like in any kind of legit fight, Joe had a chance. But so again, Joe is a different type of opponent. Someone who knows how to fight, if nothing else. I mean, he's not, you know, for show like maybe some other people, you know, Brock has faced in the past or what have you. You know, so they can have that match that straddles the line that you can have. Ooh, did Joe catch Brock good? Is Brock really mad? Is this going to break down? You've got that feeling. You would have that uneasy feeling this match.
Yes, and that was part of the fun of this when, you know, they were fighting and Lesnar went to pick Joe up. And I couldn't tell if Joe was dead weighting him or not. Like, when they got in those corner shots and Brock's giving him, like, you know, the shoulder into the stomach, Joe wasn't selling it all that much. So Brock was like, well, the hell with you, picks him up, tries to pick him up, and Joe just sandbagged him. At least that's what it appeared like to me. So then Brock, like, just... it wasn't pretty. I think that's... everyone knows that Joe's a good worker. Just always has been. He's been a great talent. Lesnar's never really gotten credit, and he's actually gotten, you know, if you look at it, his matches have turned into pretty one-dimensional sort of deals, but when he's into something, and I don't know if he was just, you know, hyped up or whatever it is, I think Lesnar really held his end of the bargain last night, especially with that kick, which is something... that kick, and then going back to that ladder match, which I don't think we even mentioned that spot when the three of us talked. the spot where the Authors of Pain took that ladder and hit Johnny Gargano in the face?
Yeah, I don't think that was...
I can't remember. I don't know who the hell was talking about. Maybe it was just Kevin off the air. But that spot, I seriously thought they messed up and killed Johnny Gargano. You know, we all have that memory of Joey Mercury's face getting blown up, you know, by the ladder. Yeah. So when Joe kicked Lesnar in the face, I was like, uh-oh, he messed up. Because they got Joe out of the ring, and Lesnar broke free, and it looked like he was seriously mad. I'm going, this is going to be awesome. And then just like, nope. He was checking his nose for blood, nothing. And then they show the replay, and he just like kind of kicked him on the shoulder. So, you know, stupid me.
No, that's not stupid.
Just
you.
Fanning out, you know?
It's a good work. No, I don't think anything about that wasn't planned. I don't think there was anything anyone, you know, I don't think Joe's really going to try and do anything to really mess with Lesnar in a way that Lesnar's not expecting or not going to be appreciative. There's no way. I mean, we know that. I mean, the stories after SummerSlam last year with Lesnar, Brock has a temper. Brock's here to work. Brock's here to make money. But he can be pissed off, and he will want to go into kill mode. But once again, that's what you can use here. You can, once again, it will. They got something special here, and I still don't think there should be a title change. And I don't even really think that they, because this is like, when we get into a, Okada Omega later. I don't even think that there should be an immediate rematch. But they've got something here that they can build upon for long term.
Yeah, and I thought it was especially, well, it's a different subject, but with the whole Roman Reigns making an announcement thing for next week, I'm getting the feeling he's going to say that he wants the winner at SummerSlam. And then I'm hoping this is when Braun Strowman shows up and beats the bejesus out of him again.
I would hope for that.
He's clear to come back now, which was today.
So, yeah. That news got out. I saw that today, yeah. So yeah.
But going back to this, like, after watching like Okada and Omega and seeing what you can do, but WWE would never, like, they don't even put time limits on the matches anymore, unless it's like a 20-man Iron Man match. Well, okay, or, you know, 60 or 60 or 30, whatever the women's thing was, I think that was the last one we had. Yeah, they'd never go with something like that. And then also last night at the end of the very rushed 2 out of 3 falls tag title match, the double count out at the end was really unsatisfying. So if for Lesnar to go over, I don't know, it can't be a short match.
No. Well, short explosive might work. Not as short as Lesnar Goldberg, but maybe not necessarily 20 minutes that requires some degree of rust holds or anything like that. Maybe 10 to 12 of just 15 maybe of just balls out action.
I'd be good with that. Just 10 rugged minutes and just go. It'd be great.
Yeah.
But it can't be. It can't be one of these things where Lesnar comes in and just decimates him. Which is what I'm really afraid is going to happen. Because I mean, you know, the plan is still it's build up for Lesnar so Roman beats him at WrestleMania. That's still the ongoing plan. So it's like, ugh. I just hope that if there's something along the way, they'll change their mind. Because seeing how the crowd reacts to Roman Reigns still, and then seeing how they present him on TV, like giving him this big thing, Roman Reigns video thing, next week he'll be back to talk. And it's like, I didn't care. I didn't mind that he wasn't on the show, you know? Treated him, and then seeing Cena get the same treatment, like, wait a second. Well, I mean, you know what? Actually, I guess it's not a bad parallel to draw because Cena still gets booed. So maybe I should have thought that one out a little bit better. It just seemed awkward. But I don't know, with the Lesnar match, I guess as a fan of, like, men, as a fan of seeing, like, in wrestling terms, just two dudes get in there and beat on each other, like, strong style, I guess that's why I want it to be a longer match. And or opportunity, whatever it's called now. So go with it, go with that, and I'll be happy. But they still got four more weeks to build this stuff up, which is just crazy to me. And the way they've been advertising what's the one coming up this weekend? Money in the Bank. Like, yeah, this week, and then in 3 weeks after that, we got another one. It's like, holy crap. But Roman Reigns is going to talk about SummerSlam, which is 2 months away still. It's like, wow, that's a lot of events.
That is. But you know what? For content on the network, for something, you just sit with your buddies and drink and watch. I love all these events. I really do. It's just, I mean, some of them don't get the time to build up as they should. Because even though there's two different shows building up two different shows, essentially, it still feels like when one comes 2 weeks after the other, it still maybe feels like it's a little bit, oh god, again. But when we get there, it's good to have, you know, once again, because most of the pay-per-views are usually pretty good, and again, for me at least, you know, it's like an excuse to get together with your friends and drink. And sometimes if the show ends up being more background noise, but I don't know where I'm going with this. But
no, it's okay. It's funny because, like, right now I don't mind. There's nothing on TV that I'm watching right now.
Right.
And especially on Sunday, there's no Walking Dead. Well, I guess Game of Thrones will be on in, what, a month from now? Okay. You know, but I can just watch. I have the pay-per-view on the laptop and Game of Thrones on TV. It's fine. Right. But when it gets to the point where there's, like, other things on TV that I'm watching, more events, to me, it's like, oh, brother. I mean, if they ever, well, never mind.
But you know what? That period between September and December, where you can have, was it like seven events, like boom, 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 boom on a Sunday night when it's football season, when it's TV season. Yeah, there's a reason that period is the doldrums.
It would be okay. Mention it like that. This is kind of off topic, but just something. I think I've mentioned to Shahid before. Last night they clearly gave up. Because the NBA ratings, for whatever reason, are just smashingly good. After that Lesnar Joe confrontation, you didn't see any of them. I think we see Joe at like 10:15 or something. And then that was it. Like, what else happened last night? Nothing. We had a creepy Bayley segment, which I can't believe more people aren't picking up on how weird that was.
Oh, that was weird as hell.
And then, what was the main event? The 2 out of 3 falls match, where the first fall took, what, a minute?
Yeah, I didn't even pay attention. I wasn't even paying attention. I must have been browsing something.
I think I walked out of the room to use the bathroom or take my contacts out or something, and I heard ding. I was like, wait, what? Like, I heard the 3 count. I was like, oh, that was amazingly fast because I've been gone 30 seconds. I don't understand why WWE gives up. Like, what happened to the arrogance of them? When, especially now with, like, really no financial stake in pay-per-view, but, like, selling pay-per-views, why not be as arrogant as possible? Like, no, we are putting on the best show we possibly can. And with DVRs, it's not so bad, but also to punish you for choosing something else over us. We put on our best show of the year.
Yeah.
What happened to that? Remember, they used to go up against the Super Bowl. They would have a halftime show at the Super Bowl, you know?
Yeah.
And now it's just like, oh, well, no one's watching anyway, so we're just going to, you know, do basic stuff, take the week off. Like, what happened?
Oh, I agree. No. That was just, it was just a waste. I don't understand it. You know, that tag team, and this is where you have to start getting worried about the Hardys and their ability to still go. Because they were in a primo spot, and the match was so-so at best.
Wait, I'm not following you.
I mean, they put the tag team match on the main event spot.
Uh-huh.
Granted, not like a big star thing, but you know, they've done this in the past where they put when they put the women on last. And then made it out of Raw, and they've delivered great matches. You know, just to do something different. Okay, this time for the first time in probably 15, 16 years since Austin and Triple H fought Benoit and Jericho, a tag title match goes on last on Raw. Maybe it's happened since then.
I honestly don't know. I was trying to think. I can't think of anybody else.
Maybe when DX making champions or something, it would probably happen. Okay, but. A tag team title match goes on last on Raw, and it gets, about 20 minutes of TV time, give or take. And that's the match they deliver.
I didn't get
it.
That's
some guys.
Yeah, I like the idea that they tried to make. I think the tag team titles, honestly, are only important because they involve the Hardys,
Cesaro
had them. And, they were important when New Day had them. They became more important once New Day lost them, because New Day had to chase after it. But so I mean, I don't mind. I like the idea that the titles are on the line. But if you're gonna give a 2 out of 3 falls match for a championship, you're gonna give it 15 minutes. That was another thing. Just like, oh boy, but. I don't know if that's an indictment on the Hardys though, because if you're putting them in that position, that means there's some faith in it,
right?
But everything's been real quiet about the broken Hardys gimmick, and part of me wonders if that's what's coming, dude, from all this.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be some, because now we're going into the fourth. Hardys, Sheamus and Cesaro match, televised Sheamus and Cesaro match, I assume a Great Balls of Fire or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They've already had a cage match. They're not going to get ladders because obviously people are going to be laddered out after Sunday. So what can you do with this to keep it interesting, even though it's really not all that interesting now?
Well, here's what was funny. Did you catch any of that Corey Graves interview with the Hardys on network?
Yeah. I watched the whole thing today, yeah.
Okay, Jeff Hardy specifically mentioned wanting to do a Hell in a Cell. I know that's its own pay-per-view, but what if that is it? Like, that's the last match between these guys.
I mean, I guess you could do it at Great Balls of Fire if you wanted to, but I don't see it. I see them as keeping it as its own pay-per-view, and then maybe, every once in a while, on a big show, doing it too. I don't know. I don't know if I see them necessarily doing Hell in a Cell as Balls of Fire. I don't know.
That's what I'm laughing at is, I keep saying the pay per view, and you keep saying the name of the pay per view.
I'm gonna keep saying the name of the pay per view. I just want to sit down and interview with Brock Lesnar next week where he says the words.
What's GBF? I guess you could call it.
Oh no! I'm gonna keep saying Great Balls of Fire.
No, I mean if he ever has to say it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
No. I did you read about how WWE apparently didn't get permission for any of that stuff?
Yeah, I did. I did read that. Yes.
How does that company do that?
I have no idea. That's a pretty nutty story. I mean, I guess no one's heard it. It's they decided on this ridiculous pay-per-view name. Started advertising it, and then because Jerry Lee Lewis has the same lawyer as Jerry the King Lawler, both from Memphis. The lawyer was the go-between and called Lawler and asked him, who do I talk to in the WWE's legal department about their trademark infringement? And Lawler's like, wait, what? What are you talking about? And it was brushed over and. But the thing is, they were going to use this stupid name. They didn't get permission from Jerry Lee Lewis, and they weren't even going to originally use the damn song.
Oh, I didn't know about that part. I immediately, if they never talked
to Jerry Lee Lewis about it, then they had no plans of actually, original plans of actually using the song, or unless they were to deal with that later.
See, that was funny, because the day that story broke, Shahid and I recorded and we watched stuff, and that was like our top story. Like, we were both in shock that that was an actual thing in the year 2017, that a pay-per-view was going to be called Great Balls of Fire to begin with, and let alone that it was by a guy that song came out, I think we said, in the 50s.
I think it's like 57 or something.
Yeah, so that's 60 years old, right? Is that
matter?
Yeah. Like, who... The references... I mean, and it's even... And we're going to go off in a different area here, but the reference of that is just ridiculous. And I know they tried blame Dean Ambrose for it. Like, well, I thought it was a cool name. It's like, all right, well, you're kooky, so okay. But I haven't read much about it, but I want to know why it's called this. It's not in Memphis. It's in Dallas, Texas. There's nothing. There's no fire involved with the event. I don't get it. And then all I can think of is there's a bunch of old dudes around going, someone just said Great Balls of Fire, and somebody said, what a great idea, and said to go with it. Like, what? I mean, sometimes pay-per-view, especially UFC or like indie pay-per-views, just come up with those stupid surnames. Like, final, like, all of the ROH ones are stupid. Final Battle, or what was TNA's? Was it Hard Justice?
Hard Justice.
Yeah, yeah. It's like...
Hard Justice, no... yeah, Bound for Glory is... Yeah. Oh. That's their WrestleMania, you know. Slammiversary is not the worst.
Wait. You're right, though. Bound for Glory is their WrestleMania, right?
Yeah.
Why isn't it Slammiversary? It's literally has anniversary in it. I mean, well, I'm sorry, not literally, but that's the whole point of it. So wouldn't you have your yearly biggest show be the one that is most closely associated with an anniversary? I forgot what company we're talking about. So getting back to the Great Balls of Fire. They said yes, and then didn't even have the, like, common sense to check to make sure they didn't have to pay for it. WWE's not poorly run, but they're apparently not poorly, they're apparently not run correctly, or they still let things slip through the cracks. I don't know.
Yeah, it's become more so more over the years. Once again, as Vince McMahon has gotten older.
I think that's definitely part of it.
Yeah, oh yeah. 20 or so years ago, nothing like this would have ever slipped through the cracks. And plus, the company's just gotten bigger. Added more departments.
Yep, and that's what I was going to say next to you.
So it's in the chain of command, things can get lost. Like that time when WCW wanted to introduce their new logo in an ad in USA Today and accidentally left in the editor's notes, it looks like something a bird pooped in my car on my car, and that ended up in USA Today.
I never heard about that. Really?
Well, come on, we talk about it all the time, in the Facebook groups we're in.
I'm looking it up now. I honestly have.
W logo USA Today or whatever. Seriously, it happened. It's a real thing.
Oh my god. Oh wow, that's crazy. Oh my God. Well, consider the company.
Right, exactly. A large corporation with so many departments and people didn't really care.
Yeah, see, like, that should be hilarious, but to me it's just like, yeah, well, it is so poorly run, of course that happened, and now we're stuck with one big promotion here, so, damn it. Anyways, I totally forgot what we were talking about. Oh, Great Balls of Fire still, but yeah, that's just crazy to me that they did that. But yeah, especially with WWE becoming as big as they are, I understand Vince McMahon still, you know, had a creative, fully involved in creative and this and that. But with so many other things, and I know he's got, like, CFOs or whatever, vice presidents, presidents running different departments, you know he's got his head firmly in those meetings, and he's just distracted by it all. And now your TV product, regardless of what people want to think, it does suffer from it. And maybe that's why they just give up whenever there's another big event. He's like, cool, I can let creative go for a week. Which is also something that would never happen when he was younger.
They say nowadays, well, back in the day, Vince never slept. Nowadays, he'll get back to Stamford, Connecticut on a Wednesday and sleep like 20 hours. I mean, he's old. He's tired.
It's funny looking at those things from the 90s to now. In just 20 years, he's aged 50.
I mean, I hope they have their succession plan, you know, rock solid, because he's a 70-year-old man who worked like a madman, believed that a real man eats red meat every day, works out like crazy, put God knows what into his body. We know the stories. It's not like we're talking out of school, that, you know, back in the day, you know, Studio 54, you know, doing coke off of, you know, off of tables, and, you know, this is a man who has lived. This is a man who is not going to, who could potentially just suddenly just go one day. He's a heart attack waiting to happen, is what I'm saying.
I'm figuring the succession plan is, well, Linda can't have anything to do with the company now, can she?
No, she can't.
All right, so it's got to go to the fight between Steph and Shane, but.
Well, I guess Stephanie has already won that, supposedly.
Unless there's a will.
There has to be a will, yeah. That will be a... I mean, it's more of a talk about, but that will be interesting, yeah. Certainly.
Yeah, but it was also... I was reading something else before... I had to hurry up and do a bunch of my reading because I got back late. And it's like your typical article that there's strife between Triple H and Vince, and this time over how the NXT people are being used. And Triple H apparently is upset because of how much time he spends building up NXT characters just to have him get up to the main roster and pretty much get decimated. I mean, everyone talked about the Shield, but the Shield wasn't together in FCW or NXT, were they?
No, not at all.
I didn't think so. So
No. Purely for a WWE.
All right, yeah, that's what I thought. So, you know, now... Charlotte's worked out, obviously. I think Becky Lynch has worked out just fine. Alexa,
actually,
no
Becky,
one...
Becky Lynch is actually better. Becky Lynch is actually better.
But no one saw Alexa roster. Bliss coming.
No. There were some flashes, I guess, but she never got the mic time. Absolutely. Yeah. She never got that kind of... Now, granted, she can't carry the worst segments ever written, but she's still good. It's not a reflection on her.
Yeah, I was watching that Rosenberg thing, who I'm still not sure why he's a thing, but was that Taken It? What the hell's that show called?
Bring It to the Table?
That's it.
I turned it off after he said his pick for the match of the year so far was Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman from Payback. Not even their superior match that they had at Fastlane, but their Payback match.
Well,
which I don't remember.
JBL was talking about Cena and AJ from Royal Rumble. I guess...
That was a great match. That was fun.
Yeah, I was like, wait a second, but that wasn't their best one. That was before that, but yeah.
I think that was their best one. I like that better than SummerSlam. I'll give it that one.
Well, I mean, I guess it doesn't matter since 2016 was 2017, but yeah, right. No, it. I watched it because I never really watched the first one, so watching this one, I'm like, all right. But I forgot where I was even going with it. Oh, well, it couldn't have been that good anyways, but yeah, I have totally lost my train of thought. I mean, everything has dumped out. Oh, we were talking about, like, guys from NXT coming up.
Okay, yeah.
And, like, the Ascension, where the hell is American Alpha? Are they the people that ruined... Are they responsible for ruining the Fashion Police set?
At this point, I guess I kind of hope so. I mean...
It can only be them or the Ascension, right?
Right, yeah. No. I hope it is. I mean, I... Yeah, turn them heel then. Yeah, it's fine. Feud, you know, have them feud with the New Day after the New Day beats the Usos. Yeah, go with that. Yes, please.
Oh, you hurt me. I hope that doesn't happen. The Usos are so awesome right now.
They are. I know, but they don't have any other babyfaces teams to face after they beat the New Day.
I don't have something squirrely happen and have another match at SummerSlam or just drag it off if you have to.
There's a battleground in between Money in the Bank and SummerSlam for SmackDown. So we can get maybe two or three matches out of it. Yeah. I mean, you got something with the Usos and the New Day. You just started with, you know, the Usos being so hard and just so, you know, hard, you know, just, I hate to say it, but it's street, and then the New Day being there, they're happy-go-lucky selves. It's a great dichotomy. It works. So, keep it going. You know?
Yeah, and I just think it'd be an absolute shame to take that off of them, because what could be better than just having, you know, two loudmouths who are more obnoxious than the New Day, which is just, I mean, think about that one, and to undercut them like that. Although I was getting a little tired of JBL talking about how the Usos and New Day were the two top teams the last 20 years or 10 years or something.
10 years?
And I'm like, the Usos, they won the title, sure, but then what'd they do?
They've, in their entire careers, they've never actually made the main card of WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean...
That's an indictment of WWE. That's nothing to do with them.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, never mind. Yeah, I'm trying to think of 10 years, because the Hardys haven't been around for 7, or is it 9? So they didn't really count. 9. But there was...
Last time the Hardys teamed regularly, I think... They put them back together like 10 years ago, which would have been. So I don't consider that part of the main Hardy Boys run. Of course, no.
But Kendrick and Lund. I don't know. It's sometimes. Sometimes I can't tell when JBL is being told what lines to say, and when JBL actually means something.
I think it was a line he was fed, but. Well, tag team. There hasn't been a brilliant premium on tag team wrestling
until
somewhat recently with the New Day when they got over, and then. They seem pretty invested in the Usos right now, so, and the Usos have been their go-to or their go-back to, you know, pretty much for years now. Yeah. I mean,
well, speaking of, since I asked, like, going back to the NXT guys as well, and I asked where the hell was American Alpha, another week with no Ty Dillinger.
Wow, yeah, agreed. And did you see at the beginning, the very beginning of the show, the guy who was like dancing to New Jay, but he had like a where's tie like sign or with them.
Well, not wrong. Yeah. They made a big deal out of him coming up, and nothing.
No, nothing at all. It's
that's supposedly the strife. McMahon does whatever he can to the NXT guys. I mean, really, look at Tyler Breeze is just now getting his footings or bearings. Excuse me, getting his bearings now. Yeah. Even though it's kind of that goofy gimmick with the Fashion Police, but people seem to like it, so you go with it.
There's been a ceiling planted for him, and, you know, popular comedy act is pretty much him hitting his head on it. You know, there is no hope for him as a top singles guy, I don't think. I mean,
I don't think he's ever going to be a top singles guy, though.
No.
I can see him being, you know, a And I mean, he saw him as an Intercontinental guy, but not so much anymore.
No, I don't see that. I don't know that now. No, but no, no. It sounds like he's having a good time. Looks like it's been very entertaining. So yeah.
And now, if they start making Fashion Police merchandise, people will buy it. I mean, that goofy stuff is what usually gets people, like, you know, to come out and buy your stuff. So, but yeah, but I mean, look, Harper, Eric Rowan, they're nowhere to be found. They're former NXT guys. I know they've been up a little bit longer, but
and Luke Harper and what the hell's his name? The bad villain who didn't get fired. Aiden English.
Oh, Aiden English. Yeah, another one.
They've been having a feud that's only been shown on WWE.com and YouTube. Did you even know that?
No.
They've been having segments with each other, crossing paths.
Oh, yeah, because they had Luke Harper talking about his kids. His wife and kids. And I was like, what? Where did this come from?
I guess I haven't actually been paying into any actual. I just know that they exist. I didn't know anything about them. This is news to me.
That was the very. I'll try and find it real quick. But yeah, that was the very first one. Is Luke Harper's just talking like regular Luke Harper, Brody Lee, whatever. And he's talking about his kids. He's like, yeah, well, you know, so and so is here. Talking about some star. I don't know.
That man should not have kids. Or actually, that character should not have children.
No.
Not be married.
Let's see. But yeah, it just came out of the blue. Yeah, I think this is it. I'll just send it to you, but... Yeah, so prior to SmackDown, Luke Harper defeated Aiden English in a six-man tag match. Afterwards, this odd encounter on camera. All right, let's see when we squeeze it.
Actually, next week, we're in Rochester, New York, and...
Yeah.
Cameraman, if you'd like to come by my house and meet my beautiful
wife,
my wonderful five-year-old, my...
Yeah, he's talking about his beautiful wife and his wonderful five-year-old. And I'm like, what? What are they doing? But that's just because I'm a super Luke Harper fan. And anything... I just sent it to you. But anything like that is just ridiculous. No provocation, you know? At least... I'm a guy that will excuse something, even if you give me the lamest excuse. He got a bump on the head, and now all of a sudden he's changed. You know, go with that old stuff. You know, the references are already there. When they were talking about the bear on Monday, they were talking about a picnic basket. I was like, Yogi Bear? I was like, does anyone know who Yogi Bear is? Dude, like, well, I guess when your median age is almost 50 years old, I guess they probably do. But, yeah, I didn't know that was an actual ongoing thing. I thought that was, like, a one-off. And
No. They've been going back and forth for the last few weeks. And, again, as a .com and YouTube exclusive, they haven't been on SmackDown in weeks.
And the bad thing is...
That was really good, also getting into Eric Rowan's weirdo act that he was doing for... less than a week, basically, until they killed it.
Yeah, it was just another thing out of the blue, but I'm like, hey, he's differentiating himself. He's made himself a little stranger, so...
I mean, it's one of the things that... If Dean Ambrose was still on SmackDown, they could have had an angle with Eric Rowan as a creepy weirdo obsessed with Renee Young. Because they actually were going in that direction a couple years back, I think, if I remember correctly.
Oh, I don't know about that one. Oh, I forgot, and I can probably figure out why you forgot about this. There is a new babyface that tag team that the Usos can go after. It happened tonight. They reunited tonight.
Oh, yep. Yeah, the hype rose. Yeah, I guess. Oh, but again, Mojo has been annoying me less and less.
Because wasn't that the plan anyways? It was supposed to be the Usos versus the hype rose. And then Zach got hurt.
It was supposed to be the Hype Bros versus Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt before they went to
the American
Alpha.
Oh, God, yes, that's right. Then the American Alpha took the place. That's right. Forgot? Yes. All right. So, but, you know, it could be their time to get, you know.
It's possible. I'm not as against it as I would have been 6 months ago, so.
If it means that the Usos get to keep the titles, I'm perfectly fine with that. And then New Day can go on, and maybe American Alpha comes back as bad guys and attacks New Day.
Yeah. So. Go in a number of different directions.
Okay. Sorry about that. My computer said restart, and I was like, no.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was like, I mean, it'll still save, but then I gotta wait 10 minutes for this old dinosaur to reboot. Anyways, sticking with the NXT people, the Bayley thing, I actually forgot that she went into WrestleMania and retained the title. And then, now, she said the line that I despise the most. It's a toss-up between they're just out there to have fun, or they're just out there to put smiles on people's faces. And Corey Graves very quickly got on top of that lunch. I loved.
It was. That was well done.
But I was like, alright, she's kind of a nerd, kind of wimpy. And then she went in for the hug at the end. And I'm like, is this supposed to lead to her snapping or acting kind of stalkerish?
I don't know if she's going to be stalking Corey Graves, but yeah, I think it was the beginning of something, yeah. I mean, they fucked this up. You know, they fucked up something that should have been a license to print money, so gotta do something to salvage it. And, I mean, it was like wonderfully creepy. I mean, I'm rubbing your back. Do you like? Isn't that nice? Like, that was creepy.
Yeah, I think the Bayley problem goes back to they introduced her and she immediately won the title. Like her whole thing in NXT was the underdog, you know, and when she got to WWE, started winning.
Yeah. Night one, she was introduced as. That's the problem when, you know, whatever percentage of the Raw audience has already watched NXT has already watched her develop, and it's like, you do have a segment of the audience who has already seen this, but the majority of the audience has not.
Yeah.
You know, NXT, she was debuted with like, you know, segments where at the time when AJ Lee was the women's champion, she was visiting NXT, and you know, Bayley of course runs up to her, gives her a big hug, says I'm such a huge fan, and blah 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 blah, and then it leads to a match where Bayley is wrestling AJ, and AJ's expecting like this really nice clean match, and then AJ just starts wailing on her, just like, because once again, that was the thing with Bayley, she lost so many matches in her first year or two. It was just like, it was something so organic. Her rise in NXT, and to just take that character and plant it on Raw was a mistake. It wasn't a mistake that couldn't have been, you know, have been salvaged. What's happened in the last 2 months since WrestleMania is where we get to the point where it's struggling to be salvaged.
I didn't mind the whole losing in her hometown thing now. Losing her hometown and then losing at Extreme Rules because she was too much of a puss to use a cane that you agreed that you would show everybody how extreme you are. Like, I don't like that. But
I mean, it was Eugene. It was when you get made fun of, when you get beat up, when you get beat, and then you don't get anything back.
Yeah.
It's dead.
And especially with so many women on the Raw roster now, with Emma coming back, Nia Jax still, you know, they're putting Mickey out there. They brought Dana Brooke back. I mean, all that stuff, you know? And it's like, they got to do something different with her because she's just going to get lost in the shuffle. Because regardless how long Raw is, there's usually only one women's match per show. There may be But if there is more than one, that's fine. But then also, it's going to be a tag team match just to get them out there. And
yeah,
it's a disservice. But
yeah, no, yeah.
I don't know.
But yeah, they do need to do something different with her. You know, maybe the, you know, for months everyone was just assuming Sasha turns against Bayley. Maybe Bayley turns against Sasha. Yeah. Yeah, and maybe you can do something with it. Maybe Bayley would make an incredible heel. Who knows?
Go ahead.
But it doesn't change the fact that they fucked something up royally that shouldn't have been fucked up.
Yeah. But on the opposite side of the spectrum, for anybody who has YouTube and cares about international wrestling, New Japan had their Dominion event.
Yeah, Dominion.
I don't know. Was it a pay-per-view or is it just streaming?
It's their. They have their. It's the NJBWWorld.com.
Okay.
990 yen. It's like under $9.
Okay, that's what I kind of figured. But
come on, I mean, I've subscribed at various points. It's certainly worth it, and I'm sure I will again.
Do they have U.S. commentary?
For the big shows, yes.
Okay, cool. Because I started watching Omega and Okada 2 on YouTube and quickly realized this is all in Japanese. I can't do it. I can't do it. So turned on found the Kevin Kelly, Don Callis one. No, it was not the one you sent me. I don't know why I just didn't watch the one you sent me, but I was like, oh, I'll go find something. Anyways,
the one I sent me was very crudely put together. So I'm sure you found a better version.
Yeah. And then I found one where somebody just had the entire show, but that was all Japanese. I'm like, I can't do this. So I'd like having the announcers in that case to try and highlight the story. And since I don't speak Japanese, they ain't highlighting anything for me. So I've heard certain other wrestling authors or writers say this. Did you think this was better than the first one?
Because
I did.
The first one, what?
I thought this was better than the first one, and that was before I heard other people saying it.
It was different for me, because I wasn't necessarily, I made plans to watch. I wasn't going to do it live at, 3 o'clock in the fucking morning. But I plan to watch the Tokyo Dome and avoid spoilers like all day, like watch. But this one, it kind of snuck up on me a little bit. So I didn't watch it before I knew the finish was a double count. So I knew the finish already. I didn't know the moves count. I didn't know anything like that. So I'm not into it as any kind of a spectacle where I don't know who's going to win or lose, and I care about the result. So it had that different part for me.
You see, that's funny because... Go ahead.
Technically, they did everything perfect. There was not a single... It was, in that respect, yes, I'll say it. It was the perfect wrestling match. There was not a single thing that they tried that didn't work or got fucked up in any way. In that respect, yes. Technically, it may have been the greatest match I've ever seen. As far as a match that just... You know, everything they did, was just flawless.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, even the outside stories of the match, having Cody Rhodes come down wanting to throw the towel in, figuring that leads to something else down the road, I thought that was kind of clever.
That was very clever, yeah. And
I was laughing because Cody comes down, and I'm like, what's this jack-off doing? Like, no one mentioned that he was even going to be a part of this. He comes down with a towel. I'm like, is that a real rule? Because I watch the matches in New Japan. I've been catching up on it on Access TV. And it's more of my thing because it's treated like a sport. I know they have, like, their angles and interference and all that stuff. But it's presented raw. I almost said rawer. I don't know if that's a real word or not, but more raw. Where WWE, what they do is they do it very well. Glossy, high-end, production's ridiculous. But that's never been my thing. Like, just in general. I you know, I like my nice stuff, but I work out at a gym that we don't have air conditioning. I drive an old car because it's just, you know, more character to it. I got, plus I don't want to buy a new one. But then, even like the old ECWs, I preferred that setup. Like, people complain about the lighting, complain about this, and I'm like, I like that dirty feel. And that's what New Japan kind of reminds me of. There's the guardrails are just your bicycle racks.
Right, yeah. Oh, that dropkick spot. That was amazing. I love that. If he hadn't hit that hit that railing, he might still be flying today. I mean, that was so great.
The one that got me was the table, because they apparently Japanese folding tables are made of trees. Like, just they just put they a tree are, with some sticks there.
There's not. No, I think it was. It's all metal underneath.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I mean, the wood broke, but the metal support, that's not going to give.
Okay, I was wondering, because he hits that table, and I was like, holy God, that's awful. But I like the presentation of it, because the presentation actually plays into their matches, too. Like, they set a time limit, and they announce when the time goes by. You've got guys around the ringside who aren't interfering. Like, the Young Bucks were there, and Okada's guys, I'm not familiar with them, but they're all over the place. They didn't interfere. Just like a boxing match, or even UFC or MMA, where they got your coaches or whatever outside yelling at you. And I love the Young Bucks during this match, too. When, I think it was the table spot. And the doctor comes over to check on Kenny Omega. And I think it was Nick Jackson was trying to give Omega some water. And the referee says something about it. He goes, oh, yeah, worry about a sip of water. He just got put through a table. They're real smart, jackass, real smart. And then you hear him, like, bitching to Matt next to him. Like, yeah, he's worried about water. It was, like, just those little simple things I thought were really nice inside of it. But, yeah, overall, I mean...
I mean, everything had a purpose. Everything had the table. Even in WWE matches where the object is to put someone through a table, there's not this level of thought and psychology put into it. Mm-hmm. There was a table bump in the first match at the Tokyo Dome. It also, once again, they teased it. The table was almost like the third man in the match. you could make that argument. I mean, that's how well it was done. Yeah, I mean, this match was awesome.
Yeah, I like the one wing angel. He finally hits it, and Okada just gets his foot on the rope. Like, ugh. And I didn't know who won this. I went in and just watched it.
Okay, yeah.
So I was like, all right.
That's how I wish I would have done it, because that's how the Tokyo Dome gets an opera symbol.
And the fact that was an hour long, and it felt like 20 minutes.
It breezed through. I just watched the match on its own. I didn't watch the 3 hours that...
Because
it was a WrestleMania-length show.
It was 5 hours and 16 minutes.
Yeah, so, yeah.
That's long.
That is long.
For those who don't understand, that's a long show.
That is a long... I don't care. I don't care what you're watching. I don't care if the Super Bowl is 5 fucking hours. You're going to get tired, you know?
Yeah, especially when it's WrestleMania and it's Roman Reigns and the guy that thankfully retired, and you're like, oh my gosh, it's been going on for 7 hours, please just end this thing. Just like, where's the Brock Lesnar finish in this one? But yeah, I don't know. I don't want to come off as like one of these people, like, you know, New Japan is so much better than WWE, or this is so much better. It's like, well, in this case, it sure as hell was. Because you're not going to see a match like that without any outside interference in WWE. You will rarely see that. And when you do, everyone loves it. So it's like... I don't know. It was just awesome to watch. And then after seeing the first one... I mean, it was funny because Kevin he doesn't go out of his way to see this stuff. And he went out of his way to watch the first one, and then I sent him the second one, which I believe he's done watching. To prepare for his trip to Guam, he's been busy doing stuff. So, but no, and even like, you know, getting that reaction, and really this kind of, and I know this is going to draw a big ugh, but it reminded me of the British or the UK championship match at TakeOver. No interference, two guys just beating each other, countering, nothing's working. And then at least in that one, there was a winner. But this one, you know, even without a winner, it was like, God damn. And
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, what they've got with these two, and it's what I mentioned earlier about they didn't, after the Tokyo Dome, they didn't immediately go to the rematch. They let it fester. They let it build. They set on different paths and brought them back together. And they still haven't pulled the trigger on the title change. Still fuzzy on what exactly Omega's contract situation is. If he's only signed for a year that is up in January, February of 2018, or what? I mean, or if they're comfortable, you know, at some point, you know, investing with him and going all the way with him.
Well, you know, he said it was only a year. And
yeah.
He's been on the up and up about stuff. You know, he said, hey, don't expect me here, don't expect me here, and this and this. And
yeah, he's been pretty on the up and up, and once again.
But
fans gotta get into a modern American mindset when it comes to these contracts. And
well, I mean, they're starting to, but in this case, he may not have wanted to.
Right, I guess if they can get him for a year and no gear. But yeah, I mean, a lot of things can happen here. Plus, now we've got in these upcoming shows in Long Beach, we've got to, again, they started something here with the, Cody Rhodes was obviously trying, under the guise of being concerned for his stablemate, Cody Rhodes is actually trying to steal the Bullet Club out from under Kenny Omega.
Which is kind of what the Bullet Club does to their former leaders, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it makes sense, but that's what I took from it, yeah.
Yeah, and Cody's got the shot on the what's supposed to be the live show on Access TV.
In America as well.
In Long Beach, California, live on TV with Jim Ross and Josh Barnett on commentary.
Yeah, and
it will depend. I'm not sure if it's 4th of July weekend. I'm not sure if I will completely throw, just say no to any invitations to any barbecues just to stay home and watch this. But it'll have to be a good damn barbecue. And I don't even have Access TV, so I'm gonna have to like. I think I'll try to do like through like Sling TV like a week. Because Access TV is on Sling.
I don't know if Access is on Sling.
I looked it up. They are. They're actually on their package or whatever they call it. They're,
wow. Yeah, that's on my DirecTV now. It's on there. So.
Oh yeah. I mean, I very likely, once again, unless it's a good damn barbecue, I'll be watching that damn. I'll be watching that show live, and there's a very good chance that once again. For the sake of telling a story, because, you know, good ring work only takes you so far. You really got to take people on a journey. There's a very good chance. Cody Rhodes is walking out, IWGP champion.
That was my thought, too. As soon as they announced he was going to be Okada's opponent, I'm like, I think he's taking the title. And especially because it's not in front of a Japanese audience as well, who may not appreciate, you know, Okada losing to Cody.
No, it's actually probably in front of an audience that wants to see such an authentic New Japan show for the first time in their lives, they'll be even more pissed than a Japanese crowd would be to watch Cody Rhodes win the title.
Well, you know, if they're going to accept Billy Gunn.
That I think is New Japan poorly reading the U.S. market.
That's just a weird decision anyways. Like,
yeah,
there's no other former WWE guy out there.
He's done some New Japan stuff. I think he did their tag tournament last year. He did their Royal Rumble thing rip-off match that they used to kick off the Tokyo Dome. So it's not, he's completely unfamiliar to New Japan, but...
All right. Well, in that case, okay, but a title match?
Yeah, I mean, Tanahashi's fine. Tanahashi is hurt, though. The guy needs shoulder surgery, but that's not how they do things in Japan. So he just does a big match like he did for this past week against Naito at Dominion. And then he takes some time off. He does like some light tag matches or a singled match against, you know, where he can just take it easy. Obviously, you know, I don't know about anyone else, but in Long Beach, it doesn't look like you're getting Tanahashi at his best.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's always an odd thing for me to talk about, like, promotions I don't watch, because I immediately, like, that, just, it was just a crazy cool show to watch, because I did not watch all of, what was the last big one? The Kingdom one?
What was it called?
Yeah, what the hell is that thing called?
Yeah, I don't, see, no, it's
just, that one.
I've been out of, obviously, during the run-up to the Tokyo Dome, I get into New Japan, and then around this time, because we're heading into now for like the month of July, into August, I will definitely be an NJPW World subscriber during the G1, because that's just a ridiculous, you know, string of great, usually a great shows over 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, I also get totally lost with New Japan with all these different titles. Junior heavyweight, never open weight, intercontinental, now they're getting into the U.S., and then there's a heavyweight, and then there's a junior heavyweight tag team, and then I was like, holy crap. It's like, that's a lot to keep track of.
Yeah, the never open weight, those probably need to go, definitely, and you probably should just consolidate the tag team titles and not have a weight limit in the tag team division, because you just have the same teams wrestling the same teams over and over again.
Yeah, but it was funny. Was it Juice Robinson? I was surprised who that was.
Oh, yeah. I know he's improved, but I'm sorry. He's an NXT jobber in my eyes. I just can't take him seriously. And they're giving him a big push, but I don't buy it.
Well, you're giving Jinder Mahal a chance? You know, it's like,
yeah, I get what you mean, but but there was always something about CJ Parker I just didn't like.
One, the name.
Yes,
that just made me go.
Even the name Juice Robinson kind of sucks.
I honestly thought it was like Juice immediately reminded me of OJ, so I expected it to be a black guy. And when it was CJ Parker, I'm like, huh? Oh, well, this doesn't make any sense. So, hey, good on him for getting a job.
Yeah, good for him. Yeah, I'll say that. There's a disconnect with me with him as far as taking him seriously as a title contender. But I guess that's my problem to get over.
Yeah. I mean, if the crowd accepts him and some people
I'm not their everyday customer, so I get it.
Well, no, what I was gonna say is, then you feed your entire roster to one guy, so that the guy you don't quite get can main event another WrestleMania. And we get to leave and go to Bourbon Street quicker. So, that'd be perfect. Anyways, we're, how are we on time? Let's see here. Yeah, it's about a little bit over an hour. Not so bad. Yeah, this is a good place to stop the show. Fuck it.
I agree. I don't think we can do any better by here.
Well, I mean, do you want to talk about TNA this week?
What?
Do you want to talk about TNA?
I haven't watched I thought about watching the India shows, because actually I watched maybe 5 minutes of it, because it's just something different, but it's just like,
I don't even have Pop TV, and knowing that I can find on YouTube puts up entire episodes of Impact, not that I've looked very hard, so
I'm sitting. They're chugging along. That's good for them. They got nothing. They got nothing I want to see. They got no one I care for.
No.
There's better wrestling. There's obviously what we would just talk about. Better wrestling is more easily accessible than ever. That if you want to watch more wrestling after WWE's or before WWE's 5 hours a week, there's so much better options than watching fucking TNA.
God, I mean, you're being generous with the WWE. Only 5 hours? Damn. There's seven, and then whatever other special, whatever else they release. So, anyways, that was a joke. I don't want to talk about TNA. Oh, God.
Okay.
And I know we were supposed to talk about Batman, but really, just saying Adam West is the best Batman is just idiotic.
I said the best Bruce Wayne.
No, you said Batman.
I said Bruce Wayne.
I'm calling your shit now.
I got rid of it because it was starting to get a little...
Oh, convenient. Convenient.
No, I said Bruce Wayne because I felt like Bruce Wayne needs to be the complete yuppie preppy and not be brooding and dark and have people thinking, there's something wrong with that guy. That's what I said. He was not the best Batman.
Mm-hmm. You deleted it, huh?
Yeah.
That's fine. I was drinking when I saw that anyways, so...
I'm sure you were.
We had been out for quite a while.
No. I mean, it was starting to get testy. People were defending me, coming after you, so I'm like, no, this can't end well.
I showed it to Elise, and she goes, that shit show from the 60s? And I'm like, yeah, that one. She was like, ugh. I'm like, yeah, I know. But...
It was on every day when I came
home. All right, so who's your best Batman then? We'll end the show on this.
I'll give it to Bale.
Hmm.
With Keaton as number two.
I don't know. It's going to be an unpopular opinion. Ben Affleck was fucking awesome as Batman and Superman.
I thought he was good. I thought he was good. I mean, obviously, I want to see him in, you know, his own standalone Batman to really...
Well, I guess in Justice League, he's going to be a totally different Bruce Wayne because Superman restored his faith in humanity. In other words, oh my God, no one liked the fact that we had Batman killing people, so we have to make him lighthearted. So hopefully it works. But I really liked, I actually really did like Affleck as Batman and grumpy old Bruce Wayne. But yeah, Bale just for the physical nature of it. And then Keaton, I think he just kind of got the raw end of it. But no one ever remembers the guys from like the 30s and 40s that played Batman.
Yeah, I've
and not that
never
I'm
going to
name
seen,
them.
I vaguely remember like back in the day, like in America, when AMC was literally the American Movie Classics channel, showing those old like 40s noir
serials,
film versions
yes.
of Batman.
They're a rough watch, man. I've got the DVDs of it.
They were, yeah.
Did you ever hear the old thing? The old Orson Welles, he actually was trying to get a Batman movie made.
I've never heard that, no.
Hang on, let me see. I'll send it over to you. But it was crazy, though. Like, he actually had, like, mock stuff. I'll find it off air and send it to you. But yeah, he had actually come up with like images. He had actors that he wanted, like a whole list of that. It would have been insane if it would have been able to pull it off. But all right. Oh yeah, I think he wanted to play Batman though.
Huh.
Which when he was skinny, sure he could have pulled it off just fine. But anyways, let's get out of here.
All right.
So hey, thanks for listening, guys. I believe Kevin's back next week. If not, it's just going to be the two of us because Ramadan goes for a while still. So, Jeed actually is working nights to help ease the suffering of having to fast. Ugh. And, so if not, it'll be Chris and I next week. Stunt granting all social media. I barely use Twitter anymore because I'm too old for it and smart. And, you can check us out on Twitter, all that stuff. And, cool. I'm out. And, just remember this. I'm talking to you specifically, Chris. You just do what's natural and then leave it alone. All right?
right.
All right, guys. So Chris is going to take us out. So hold on to your butts.
Remember to rate and review us on iTunes, and we will talk to you next week.